So today's learning is sponsored by the Hershkutz family, Lenishmas, Moshe Ben Yehuda Leib, by the Weider family, Refuah Shlema for Daniela, Tzipora Bas Dina, and by the Rubenstein family, Refuah Shlema Rafal Ben Chana. So we were talking last week about Mechamas, Mechamas Rishus, Mechamas Mitzvahs, and the various halachas pertaining to them. So this week we decided to discuss people and individuals on spy missions, a spy. The halachas relates to a spy. You know, there are many halachas. Rav Asher Weiss is, I think, the official posek of the Mossad. I've heard him discuss some of these shilas, some of these case studies. So he has not even writing, so I don't remember the exact shilas that come up, but fascinating shilas about keeping halacha, keeping mitzvahs, eating treif, what they should and should not be doing when hiding out in Iran and Gaza and other places. So it's fascinating. So I don't have a real example because I don't know the exact shilas don't come to me, and they're not in writing. But we could at least go through some of the structure to understand some of the background of how these shilas will be attacked, be answered. So let's start with number one. This is a gemara that appears in Chulin Daf Yud Zayin. Now, what's interesting about this is we have not had an Israeli army since the times of David HaMelech. So these cases were not really discussed. It just didn't exist of soldiers and spies fighting and keeping halacha. It's a very new thing, and therefore it's uncharted territory, other than what we have from the Gemaras and Rishonim. So it is very, very limited, and therefore not much to work with. But just to see some of the sources in the background, it is a fascinating discussion. So take a look at number one. It's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara there asks, by Rabbi Yirmi asks the question, Evari Basar Nechira. What's Basar Nechira? So basar nechira is meat that comes from an animal that was not shechted. An animal that's not shechted, it's treif. You can't eat such a food. But in the midbar, there's a special heter that they were allowed to eat meat from an animal that wasn't shechted based on whatever heterim. But once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, you could only eat shechted meat. That's the din. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the halacha of a vare basar nechira, this meat, that was permitted in the midbar, that was left over? And you took that meat, shechnisu Yisrael imam laretz. So when they were in the midbar, you could eat the food. So I have a steak. A steak that came from a nevela that wasn't shechted properly. And you had a leftover. You didn't have a chance to eat it. And Klal Yisrael, led by Yehoshua ben Nun, crossed over the Yarden. They entered into Eretz Yisrael with that same piece of steak. Does that steak now become usur because now they are in Eretz Yisrael and you have to eat shechted meat? Or since it was the same exact meat that 30 seconds earlier was permitted, it retained that same heter until they finished all that meat. That was the question of the Gemara. So again, Ba'i Rabbi Yirmi, Evari Basar Nechira, Shechnisu Yisrael Imahim La'aret, Mahu, what's the din? What's the din? What's the status of such meat? So Gemara needs to clarify the question, Amas, when are we talking about which meat, what point, what stage of entering into Eretz Yisrael was the Shai? Elam, if you're going to tell me, B'sheva Shekivshu, we know that when Yehoshua ben Nun led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, the first 7 years he was fighting, he was knocking, he was sending away and killing all the nation that lived there. That was Sheva Shekivshu, the 7 years of conquering, the 7 years of fighting and war. So Gemara says, if you're talking about those 7 years of war, whether that Basar Nechira is mutter, Hashta Davar Tameh Ishtarilu. If Davar Tameh, foods like Chazer, pig, if that's permitted during war, we'll see the proof in a second, certainly basar nechira should be permitted. Who says davar tameh, you're allowed to eat non-kosher food during war? The chsiv, it says in the pasuk, ubatim mileim kol tov. Let me read the pasuk for you outside. The pasuk says as follows. The pasuk in Parshas Veschanan, it says when Klal Yisrael enters into war, the pasuk says, ubatim mileim kol tov, you're going to encounter houses that are full of good. Ashalom mileisa, houses that you didn't fill up. You're going to overtake a non-Jewish home, and there are going to be pantries and refrigerators full of food and all types of non-kosher food. And there's going to be boros chatsuvim. There are going to be pits and wells that you didn't dig, but they're going to be full of water, that you didn't dig. And there's going to be krumim v'zesim. There are going to be vineyards and olive fields, ashelo natata, that you didn't plant. And you're going to encounter all this when you conquer and you defeat the enemy. What does the pasuk say? Achalta v'savata. Go eat it. Enjoy it. That means there's no kosher food in these houses, but it's non-kosher food. And the pasuk says, achalta v'savata. So this is the source that you're allowed to eat during the years of war. So back inside the Gemara, Hashta davar tamei. Now, if that which is tamei, that which is a chazer, a pig, or a tray for tamei, ishtailu, that's permitted during the years of war. Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, batim mileim koltov. And Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, Amar Rav, kislei de chaziri. This is a reference to some type of pig, some type of pork, bacon that you're allowed to eat in during years of war. So if you're allowed to eat real tray food during the years of battle, the 7 years of Kivishu, so basar nechira mibay, why would this meat from the midbar that were brought in during the 7 years of conquering be any different? So that's the Gemara's clarification. What exactly is the char? What exactly is the shaila here? So again, during the first 7 years of conquering, you could eat all treif as you whatever you want, because during Shas Machama, davar tameh is allowed, which would include even basar nechira. So when exactly was this question being raised? The Gemara says, Ela la'achar mikan. During the first 7 years of a battle, you can eat all you want. The Gemara wanted to know, let's say you were able to somehow refrigerate the basar nechira from the midbar for 7 years, and now the war is all over, there's no battle, no machama, can you eat that basar? That was the question. Then the Gemara says, and this is very important, these two answers. Ibayis Ema, alternatively, no. Really the question was, Li'olam Bisheva Shekivshu, during the first 7 years was the question, when they were fighting. So what's the Shaila? We just said you're allowed to have Davar Tameh during 7 years of war, any time of war. Why would we have a Shaila about Basar Nechira? So the Gemara says, we'll have to appreciate this in a second, Ki Ishtarilahu, when did they allow you to eat the non-kosher food? It was only if it was shalal sha'ov de kochavim. It was the spoils of war, of the non-Jewish food. But did you your own food that isn't kosher? Lo ishtar. So it comes out here from very, very important. And we'll have to appreciate the reason to get this Gemara down clearly. So the Gemara says, the first answer is, you're right, all food's allowed. Whether it's your food, the non-Jewish food, all food's allowed during Mechama. And the second answer is, only non-Jewish owned food is allowed. But Jewish-owned non-kosher food would not be allowed. So the Shaila was, even though in general, Jewish non-kosher food is not allowed, would Basar Nechira be different? So let's forget about Basar Nechira. That's not really our topic. Our topic is what's allowed and why is it allowed during the years of war, which foods, which types of wars, and what's the reason. We're going to revisit the Gemara, as you'll see, and we'll appreciate it even better. So it might be a little bit flimsy right now in your mind, but just hold on, and as we go through, we'll come back and read everything together, I think, in a seamless way. Let's first ask the question, why was this permitted? Now, the pasuk says you could have non-kosher food during war, but why? What's the reason? So take a look. There's a big machlokas between the Rambam and Ramban. They argue on three different nekudos. We're going to focus on two of the three, but we'll read through both. This is the main part of the discussion. The Rambam writes, if you look at number three, in Hilchos Melachim Perek Ches, the Rambam says, Chalutzei Tzava, the soldiers of war, Kishayichnesu Begvul Ha'akum, when the soldiers, maybe some spies, some special agents, when they enter into the Gvul Ha'akum, the enemy territory, that could be Gaza, that could be Iran, it could be many of the countries in the Middle East, when they enter into their land, into their borders, the Yichvashum, they conquer them, the Yashumahem, and they start settling in those areas after defeating the area. Mutter lehen le'echo. They're allowed to eat in those areas, nevelos, trefos, basar chazer, chayotebo. A nevela is an animal that wasn't shechted properly. They could eat trefa, an animal that's not kosher. They could eat pig and anything like that. All machals asuras, all types of foods that are not kosher, they are allowed to eat. Bas Mechalov seemingly doesn't have, it sounds like any type of Machal Sasuris. It's a good question, but it sounds like anything that's Machal Sasuris. That's what it would seem.
The Machal Sasuris you find, Bas Mechalov, you have to actively put together.
Granted, that's true, it's a difference, but it doesn't mean that will make a difference. Okay. So the Gemara, then the Rama writes further, with one very, very important qualification, Im Yira'ev, if you're hungry, if you're starving, V'lo Matzah, yeah, Mayocha, you have nothing else to eat. So you take over you win the battle, and there you are in the fields, and you're starving. There's no food. So then you go ahead and eat the food. You eat the pig, you eat the basar mechalav, whatever you find. You can eat it. Ela machalos elu ha'asur. All you could find is the tray food, the nevelas, and the basar mechalav, and the chazer. That's where there's a heter. And then he writes, which is not our focus, v'chein shosa yai nesach, if there's yai nesach, wine that was poured for avodah zarah, you're also allowed to drink. That, says the Rambam, We learn, how do you know, what's the source? We learn, Batim Mileim Koltova, Arfe Chazerim, Chayotzeben, you're allowed to eat non kosher food. So the two important pieces here from the Rambam.
What happens if you're not part of the army? You're just some there stationed for whatever reasons. And can you go ahead and do the same thing?
No. When it's based, it's a special heter for the army when fighting during Muhammad, but a regular person who just happens to be touring there, or visiting, whatever reason.
Not true, but they don't have. They have no facility to have any kosher food.
No. So again, if it's a... Look at the Kesef Mishnah, maybe this will address the point. The Kesef Mishnah just wants to clarify one piece here. The Rambam can't be talking about where the soldiers are mamish pikuach nefesh. Because if a person's in pikuach nefesh, you do whatever you can to live. So if a person, let's say, is stuck in who knows where, and there's no food, so then he's allowed to eat. He must eat. He has a requirement to eat because he has to save his life. So Kesef Mishnah just has to tweak that a little bit in the Rambam. He says, if you look at number four, reading just the bold. It's an Isser derais to eat a person. Whether this would be included, I'm not sure. There's a discussion in general what heterim exists. It would be interesting. You could ask all the questions of Machal Zasuris, do they apply bas b'chalav eating people? So I'm not sure. I didn't see it. The Kesef Mishnah clarifies, Ein kavanaso, the kavanah of the Rambam is not b'mishu mesukan, mach mazirav. It can't be a person who's in a grave danger where he's going to die because he's starving. D'hapshita. Of course he's allowed to eat. Afilu einu mechalutze tzavah. Like, and even if you're not a soldier, nami, you have a requirement to keep yourself alive. Ella, it's kishetov lechal, he's a desire to eat, but can't find the heter in an easy way. So there's a hard to quantify this, but in the end of the day, it's a somewhere where it's a little bit less than pikuach nefesh, and we said don't overextend yourself. If you find the chazi, you find the tray, if you find machal sasuros, don't go out to the marketplace to find kosher food. It's okay to have it here. How to give you proper guidance, I can't. I'm not sure if we would want to. You know, we've discussed this in the past some time ago, that chazer itself, one of the reasons why a chazer, pig, is called a chazer, because it means to be chozer, it returns. So what will it return? So the Medrash says it's going to return to its old ways. So some say that means that the nation of Edom, who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, are going to rebuild Bais Shlishi. Rabbeinu Bachai says what it means is chazer, pig, will be chozer lekashrus. It's going to become kosher. That's according to one opinion in the Rabbeinu Bachai. Now, when that time comes, if that's the pshat of the Medrash, I don't know if I could ever get myself to eat a pig. I don't know if I could actually do that. So even though there might be a terim to eat it, unclear whether the soldiers could actually end up doing it. Will they be willing to eat that food if they could extend themselves to find kosher food? But that's what the Kesef Mishnah says. But the basic underlying reasoning of the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, it's some form of pikuach nefesh. Not actual pikuach nefesh, but a more loose definition of pikuach nefesh to save the soldiers, whether it's because physically they need help, mentally, whatever strength they need, you have a heter to eat the non-kosher food while in battle. Now, although the Rambam only writes after you've already conquered them, it would seem to be, if it's pikuach nefesh, it would be kava chomer during battle as well, would be the heter according to the Rambam. So just to get the Rambam clear, he says all types of non-kosher food, it seems like, no limitations from the surface. You could eat the food after the battle when needed, and even during the battle, seemingly, and only when you're really hungry. But if you have the option of kosher steak and non-kosher steak, you're not allowed to, because the underlying reason again, is pikuach nefesh. That's all the sheet of the Rambam. Now, the Ramban in number 5, the Ramban in Parshat Veschan, argues on the Rambam in three different ways. The Rambam writes, Ramban writes in number 5, reading just the bold. V'ein ze nachon, I don't think this is correct. He argues on this pshat. He argues in the Rambam's pshat. Shelo b'shvil pikuach nefesh o ra'avon bilvad huter b'shas mechamah. It was not only because of pikuach nefesh and starvation only that they permitted eating this food during mechamah. Ela la'achar shekivshu ha'arim ha'gdolim v'atovos. Rather, after they've conquered, overtaken the cities, the big cities, the good cities, the wealthy cities, the successful cities, v'yosh behen, and they settled in the cities, it was hitter lahem shalal oyveihem. There was a special heter given to them. A special heter. What does that mean? It sounds like from the Ramban, though it's arguable. It sounds like this was a gift, a reward from the spoils of war. That, when you defeat a country, defeat a city, defeat whoever you defeat the enemy, part of the defeat is you get what they have. You get their gold, you get their silver, you get their horses, you get their tanks, you get their weapons. And also, says Ramban, part of the reward is you get the food. And even if that food is not kosher, it's chazer, it's pig, it's basa v'chalav, it's treif, it's nevela, that's part of the het. So he says that's a special gift from the Torah. And not only that, so that's one piece he argues, it's not because of pikuach nefesh, rather it's because it's a gift, which means, one afkamina would be, let's say you have kosher food, and let's say the soldiers are not starving. The Ramban says, go ahead and eat it. This is your gift. This is the reward. Now, and that sounds very strange, because we keep kosher, and like, why would this be allowed? It's hard for us to comprehend such a thing, but this is how the Ramban understands the pasuk. And not only that, he limits it. It's not a heter in every war. It's not a heter in every type of mechama. Well, for the Rambam, where it's pikuach nefesh, whenever you're in danger, whether you're fighting in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's in Iran, whether it's in Afghanistan, whether it's wherever it is, if a soldier is dying of starvation, he needs to eat. Have a heter to eat machal sasuros. Ramban writes, it's a special heter. Only look at the next line. Below b'chol chalutzei tzava, not every army, not every soldier, ela be'eretz asher nishba lavo seinu laseiz lanu kimoshim b'furish be'inyan. Only within Eretz Yisrael proper. But it's not about b'kuch nefesh, according to Ramban. It's about a special gifts, rewards, from a battle that was fought in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk limits it to Eretz Yisrael, according to Ramban. But if you defeat the enemy in Iran, Jordan, Syria, wherever else it might be, there is no such hatter. The gifts, the shalal, hamechama, the spoils of war, is only from a defeat in Eretz Yisrael proper. So that's the second machlokas between the Ramban. Number one is the reasoning. Number two is the location. We're going to elaborate on that in just a moment. And the third point the Ramban argues, which we're not going to elaborate on, but we'll just mention it anyways, is yai nesach. While the Rambam said not only could you eat machal sasuras, but you could also eat yai nesach, you could drink yai nesach, the wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah is asr, but you could drink it for the during Muhammad. Ramban says that is not true. Read just the Ramban there at the end. V'chein yai nesach shehizkir eino emes. That is not true. Shebechol isuri Avodah Zarah hi atzma u'mishamsheh. That which is Avodah Zarah, or that which is used to serve Avodah Zarah, the takrovah shala, and any of the sacrifices is asr. Meaning the only heter here is machal sasuros. You can't violate other isurim during war. We'll get to Eishes Shifas Torah in just a moment. We'll talk about it briefly. But you can't, stealing would be a different thing. I'm trying to think of a good example. But just not random isurim. You can't just do random isurim there. So Avodah Zarah is not part of the heter. The heter was machal sasuros. The pasuk says, batim vileim kol tov, a house full of good, and you have pits full of water, and you have vineyards and whatnot. But yai nesach Avodah Zarah, that's a different issur. That was not part of the heter. So what the Rama meant there exactly, I once saw Rav Soloveitchik, but I couldn't locate it. Maybe I made this up. I thought I saw it somewhere. I couldn't find exactly where it was. But it seems to be a machlokas. This is a parenthetical point where the yai nesach is qualified, categorized as a Avodah Zarah, or it's categorized as machal sasuros. The Rambam felt that yai nesach was a machal sasuros, and therefore it's part of the heter, while the Ramban felt that this was a type of Avodah Zarah, and therefore not part of the heter. But that's for a different time. Right now, focusing on the Ramban, what is the reason for the heter? Rambam says it's a form of pikuach nefesh. Ramban says it's a form of gifts, rewards, schar, from defeating the enemy in Eretz Yisrael. There is yet a third reason behind this heter, and that's found by the Maariv Schiyos in the Gemara Sanhedrin there. And he points out from the Rambam, it doesn't seem so consistent with the Rambam, so I'm not so convinced that this is the Rambam Shita, but it's still a third reasoning which makes sense in general, at least in theory, that Maariv Schiyos says the Rambam, the very next halacha after introducing the heter of eating machal sasuros during war, the very next halacha he says that also the halachas of Eishes Shifas Torah. Eishes Shifas Torah, about having a non-Jewish woman, and you're allowed to marry her, even though she's not Jewish, all those halachas that apply to that, that's involved in the world of Gilei Raos. Why is that allowed? Gilei Raos is suddenly allowed? So without getting to the details of Goy and not Goy, she's married, not married, but some heter within the realm of Gilei Raos. But why did the Torah allow this? So if you look at the Maariv Schiyos, number 6, the very last line, reading just the bold, Ulam harambam kasav kealacha hashenis. The Rambam equates halacha of eating pig and machal sasuros to the next halacha, which says, v'chein bo'el isha b'giusa. One can have relations with a non-Jewish woman, which of course is asr. De mashma ha-de-te-ra ha-Torah. Why did the Torah permit this? Achilas Isser, b'shas mechama, mishum dilo dibra rak neged yetzara. Because go back to the Gemara in Kedushin. Why is the Eish HaShifas Torah permitted? Because it's going to happen anyways. And during Melchama, whatever goes on in the mentality, you can't imagine much of anyone here ever fought in a war. I certainly didn't. But what goes on in the war, it's crazy what mentally what they have to deal with, psychologically what they deal with. And obviously the boundaries are different. You're murdering people. You're seeing people die, friends, other soldiers. It's craziness. And the Yetzer Hara is probably an overload to a certain extent. And therefore, the Torah understood the nature of a human being and gave a special heter because of the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes the Torah needs to allow some space. Otherwise, a person could get completely suffocated and explode. So too, says the Maratzchias, the heter eating Malchus Arus was also the Yetzer Hara. They're starving. They see a cheeseburger. They see pig. They see whatever they see. And part of the Yetzer Hara, which is very weak because of the given state, there's a heter because of the Yetzer Hara. That's what he writes here. And he also makes one other qualification, but the three basic explanations we find in the Mefarshim, the Rambam, Pikuach Nefesh, Ramban, a special shalal, a special reward, the spoils of the war, and the Maariv Tzchias, based on Kineged the Torah, Dibra, Kineged La Yetzer. Now, which wars does this apply to? So we already saw the Ramban limited to Eretz Yisrael only. The Rambam doesn't have any chilukim, does not distinguish. Seemingly, it would apply all types of wars. The Sefer Chinuch, if we look at number 7, the Sefer Chinuch writes very, very clearly. He says, V'chein m'inyin zeh, ma'ashamu gam kain, debein melchemes rishus o mitzvah, mutter. We discussed last week the definitions of mitzvah, melchemes rishus. Melchemes mitzvah we described was when you're conquering Eretz Yisrael. We described it as perhaps a preemptive strike. We described it as a melchemes amalek. Melchemes Rishus was when David HaMelech or whoever the king or the prime minister wants to expand their borders, that would be called the Melchemes Rishus. So Sefer Chinuch says it applies whether it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, it applies whether it's a Melchemes Rishus. All types of Melchemes are subject to this heter. So this makes a lot of sense.
But one second, yeah. If it's Rishus, then it's likely going outside of Eretz Yisrael, which contradicts the Ramban.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Machlokas. Oh. Ramban is only in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chinuch, who almost always follows the Rambam, is everywhere. In, outside, mitzvah, rishus, and the a very simple understanding is because it goes back to the reason. If the reason is pikuach nefesh, or some form of pikuach nefesh, so it shouldn't make a difference where the battle's being fought. In Eretz Yisrael, in Gaza, in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, that had to apply all types of mechamas. One is in danger. And that's the chinuch in the Rambam. But the Ramban, who holds it's all about a special schar, from fighting and defeating and defending the enemy is in Eretz Yisrael, so then it's limited to only Eretz Yisrael, but there's no such heter outside Eretz Yisrael, no such heter from the Chemes Rishus either. Now, there's an interesting shita of the Radbaz. The Radbaz is in Shuv, it's not in front of you. It's the Radbaz in Chelek Vav, Simon Beis, Alafim Reishay, which is Simon 2205. He wrote a lot of Shuvas, the Radbaz, very short Shuvas. You have different types of, poskim who write. Some wrote very, very, very long Shuvas, takes a while to get through. And some wrote very, very short. So the Rabbis, for the most part, wrote very, very short tshuvas. And since he wrote shorthand, so he's able to write a lot more. So he wrote thousands and thousands of tshuvas. So the Rabbis, he was actually from Mitzrayim, in Cairo, I believe. So the Rabbis wrote that he felt there was a distinction between Mechemes Mitzvah and Mechemes Rishus. He said there are really two dinim. He said that when it came to the Mechemes Mitzvah, he felt that you could eat whatever you want. Remember the Rambam held that you're only allowed to eat if you're hungry, if you're starving, pikuach nefesh. So he said, if it's a melchemes mitzvah, he assumed like the Ramban, you could eat any food, even if you have kosher food. There's a complete heter to eat non-kosher food during a melchemes mitzvah. But during a melchemes rishus, so then he said, only if you're starving like the Rambam. So he split between melchemes mitzvah and melchemes rishus. Now, before getting to one last piece about which foods are allowed, we have to understand right now. Let's talk about our case, our situation. You have spies who are throughout, Iran and Gaza. You know, the only way I don't know how the Mossad figures these things out and blows up their, nuclear weapons and whatnot. Every time you hear something new, some other explosion goes on. Obviously, what the Mossad does is absolutely incredible. So part of it is having Jews who are spies. The way it works is very simply. I was actually talking to Charlie Rauer yesterday before Mincha, because he spoke to Rashi Weiss about this, and he actually interviewed, he told me last week, some people who were involved in some of the spy units back in the 80s, the Israeli spies, and what they were explaining on one of these radio shows, he was telling me. So what they explain is that the key to being a spy is being yourself. So, you know, no one here will be a good Iranian spy because you have to pretend to be an Iranian. But if you grew up in Iran and you are an Iranian, so then you just be yourself. The point is, don't try to not be yourself. So if you were to be a spy, you know, against America, let's say, so we could be great American spies because we're American. We could blend right in. We could talk with the Yankees, Mets, Knicks, Nets, and all that and be very normal and just blend in. And blend in, you have to learn how to just kind of eavesdrop and things of that sort. But don't stick out, you know. Don't wear loud clothing. Wear very powerful clothing and great. Just be, you know, you ever pay attention, you go to a restaurant, sometimes some waiters will come like every second to like be on top of you and you know, try to fill your, check on your order, check if everything's okay. And other more professional restaurants, they're going to like blend into the wall as if you don't notice them. Usually like dark clothing, it's dark lit, you don't notice them. And they'll pay attention. When you finish the water, they'll come right over. But that annoy you. The momish, they blend in. You can have like a restaurant with the tons of waiters that are there, but you won't notice them. They only come when you need them. So it's learning how to blend in. So you don't want to stick out. So there are many, many spies, I imagine, throughout the different countries. And what are they allowed to do? What can they do? Is this called Mashas Mechama? Is it not called Mashas Mechama? Are we in war right now? We were in war a couple of weeks ago. Is it still the state of war? So one could say we're always in war, Israel, because they're always trying to get us. So even though there's no active fighting, but there's still active, figuring out the spies and undercover. So again, I don't know the answer. I'm just raising questions and thoughts. We're not passing these shilas, but I would. So that point, right? Now, certainly, if a person is there, if you get caught, no, certainly. So this would even be before. This would be beyond even that. Defining Mechemes Mitzvah or not Mechemes Mitzvah, the person in Iran is caught and he's done. That's it. He's over. They hang him. So it is certainly Pikuach Nefesh. So Charlie actually told me one shaila that Rav Asher had raised, just a very simple shaila, not simple, but just wasn't involved as he would want to hear. But one, he said half the spies are religious. Half the Israeli spies are religious. And they don't wear tefillin when they're in Iran. But you can't. You get caught with tefillin, you're done. And they don't fly back from Iran directly to Eretz Yisrael because that will, you know, blow the cover. So they go through Switzerland and, you know, somehow they have a stopover on the way. So the now this is a religious spy. He's in Iran, doesn't wear tefillin. Probably doesn't even bring tefillin with him. Now he's in Switzerland. He's now in no man's land. He's safe in Switzerland. Does he wear tefillin at that point or not? Mm-hmm. Is he considered on the mission? He's not considered on the mission. So I don't know the answer. To me, I would imagine that if someone from Iran took that same flight and saw him in Switzerland putting on tefillin, then he would be blow his cover. To me, that would still be part of the heter, more of a practical thing. That would be part of the mission, I would imagine. But these are types of shilas that he has to deal with. You never know how exactly it works, but same thing, Iran, he'd be in Yechidus as well. No one would see him, but who knows who's looking, who knows who's listening. In Eretz Yisrael, you're safe. But you have to, again, I don't know how these things work, obviously. You have to speak to...
Check your luggage.
Check your luggage as well.
You
never know how these things work. Like, yeah, it's crazy, that story that happened with Belarus last week, and they diverted that plane, the commercial plane, and took the guy off. Like, who knows what goes on with these airports, with these countries? You have to be very, very careful. So I don't know how simple it is. So these are the types of shilas. So let's say Yom Kippur, should he eat? Should he fast in Yom Kippur? So that you probably get right away with, you know, fasting. You know, it probably won't be dangerous to fast, not eat. No one's going to pay attention. Pesach, also part of the Yisurim. Pesach, eating chametz, it's a serious Yisur. When it comes to when a person's in a situation where he needs to eat machal sasuros, a person, let's say, is dangerously ill. So the Gemara Numa talks about, so if there's no kosher food, you give him an Yisur to eat. But you have to go to the worst Yisur. You have to start weighing which is worse. So if it's chametz versus chazer, so then chazer is better than chametz. Chametz has an iser kares, chazer has an iser lav only. But these are types of cheshbonos questions that they have to deal with when they're out there. It's pretty wild, but it's a real mesiras nefesh, and they're saving lives. They're saving many, many lives in doing so. So let's just finish off with one last piece. Which types of isurim would be allowed? Which types of machal sasuros would be allowed when in battle or even as a spy? Would there be a limitation? So let's go back to that Gemara in the beginning. Turn back to number one for a second. And we'll reread it, and I think we'll appreciate it a little bit better now to understand this machlokas. Now, Torah Tamima points this out, what I'm about to say, but I think it's self-explanatory when you read this and understand the Rishonim. So the question again was, number one, Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah, Eiver Basar Nechira, Shehichnisa Yisrael Imahem La'aretz Mahu. They had this meat that wasn't shechted, that was permitted in this desert, and they brought it inside Eretz Yisrael. Is it now allowed because it had a shame heter before they entered into Eretz Yisrael? Amos, when was this question being asked? For which time period was this shaila? Ilema b'sheva shekivshu. If it was referring to the 7 years of conquering, the first 7 years where Yeshua ben Nun was kicking out all the different nations of the world, hasha davar tamei ishtayilu. If that which is tamei, that which is a usher, could be eaten during milchama, dichsev ubatim milaim koltov, and amr rabbi yirmi ba'arba, amr rav kislei dechazir, pig is allowed during the years of conquering, so certainly basin dechirmi boy, would you have to ask me a shaila about this meat? So now pay attention to the two answers. Ella, the question was la'achr mikan. If the basin dechir was refrigerated or frozen for 7 years, would be allowed after the conquering is over, but during the years of milchama, there's no difference. All foods, all machal sasuros, maybe bas b'chalav, maybe human beings, all that would be permitted during war. Every type of machal sasuros. But the second answer is, now the reason is for that, is because the way Torah Tumim explained, it's because pikuach nefesh. This answer is like the Rambam. If it's pikuach nefesh, all foods allowed. It shouldn't make a difference. If you need to eat because you need to live, because one's starving, all foods allowed. But the... Yeah, but again, it's a loose definition of pikuach nefesh. Not the actual pikuach, but where a guy is very hungry, but not about to die. The second Ibai's Ema is like the Ramban, says the Torah Tuma. The Ramban says, Ibai's Ema, the Gemara answers, Liolam b'sheva shekivshu, the question about basa nechir was during the 7 years of conquering. Why? If you could eat davar tamei during the years of war, why couldn't you eat basa nechir during the years of war? So the Gemara says, ki ishtari lehu, when you were allowed to eat the non-kosher food during war, it was only shalal shel ov de kochavim, only the spoils of the goyim, the spoils of the war, what you take over from them. But did who? Lo ishur, but not your own food. Remember the Rabban said, what was the heter to eat the non-kosher food? It was your reward. This was your gift from beating them. So you take their gold, you take their silver, you take their horses, you take their weapons, and you take their food. It's a heter in the food. But it's not a heter in your own food. The bas nechir that you brought in, that's not part of the spoils of war. That was not the heter. So these two answers of the Gemara is dependent on the reason of the Rambam, pikuach nefesh, or the Ramban, because of the spoils of war. And that's going to dictate whether or not all types of foods are permitted, or only the foods that came from the garden. One last piece, we'll finish off with this. There's an interesting Gemara, the Turi Evan asks the following question. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Gimel, it's not in front of you, tells us that when Yeshua ben Nun brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara says they were able to eat the chadash, the new grains, mimachras haPesach, the day after Pesach. Meaning, when the new grains, any grains that grow from now until Pesach are called chadash, the new, and isser deraisa. When you bring the carbon omer on the second day of Pesach, first day of Chol Moed, that carbon omer is matir, the chadash, it turns chadash into yashin, into old, and old allowed. So the Gemara says, once they brought the carbon omer, mimachas haPesach, the day after Pesach, after the first day of Pesach, you're allowed to eat it. But meikara, beforehand, they couldn't eat it because they didn't bring the carbon omer. It was Isser Chadash. So Turi Evan asked, this is talking about the first year in Eretz Yisrael. Asked to Turi Evan, but wasn't that a year of war? Wasn't this the Muhammad? The first 7 years that they were fighting. So why do you have to have the carbon omer? The Isser Chadash is a machal asuros, so of course you should be able to eat it. Why do you have to wait for the carbon omer? So he gives three answers, and they all connect to what we just learned. Answer one, he says, according to the Ramban, who holds the heter is only the spoils of the goyim, so the chadash was not considered the goyim, they're considered ours. Why ours? Because we own Eretz Yisrael. Even though we weren't there yet, we are muchzokas in Eretz Yisrael. It was our property from Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. It was our grain that was growing, even though we were not there for a few hundred years. It was our grain, and we don't have a heter for our food, we only have a heter for their food. That's why we need carbon omer. That's answer one. Answer two, he says, is like their Rambam shita. The Rambam says the only time you could have the heter of machal sasuros is when you're starving, when there's no other food. But they had food. The man, they had the man was left over, the Gemara says, or came in with them, to man left over for a few days, a few weeks, in Eretz Yisrael. They had plenty of food. The chadash was a nice bonus, but they weren't starving. They had food. So for the Rambam, you couldn't have it either because there was other food. And the third and final answer he suggests is as follows. Maybe the only time you have a heter of eating machal sasuros is that which is usher forever. Chazer is usher forever, forgetting that Rabbeinu Bechai. Basar v'chalav is usher forever. Treif and Nevelah is usher forever. But that which is what's called davar sheyesh l'matir, that which, although asr today, but tomorrow will be mutter, or chametz, that's asr today, but in a week will be mutter, maybe the heter of machal tesuros won't apply to this. So this is a sugya. Now, based on these sugyas, they figure out, Rav Asher Weiss and whoever else is involved in these shilas, figure out what should be by these undercover, these agents. But as we pointed out before, this may not be as relevant because pikuach nefesh is really what's driving. And anything that's going to put their lives in danger, they will be heterim, but they have to deal with certain shilas anyways. Yes?
Yeah.